tempting myself. There are enough colors to paint the whole kitchen. Not enough words to ever say what I found. Wonderful and beautiful and glorious and holy. He is merciful and powerful. Who are you talking about? That's my king. We declare the glory. Give him all the honor. Altogether worthy. Who are you talking about? That's my king. There's no one before you. Yes, we will adore you. All of this is for you.
That is our King God. I just thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to come before you, praising again, worshiping, and giving you the honor and the glory due to your name for all the amazing things that you're doing for us, Lord. We are here to worship, to praise, to share our testimonies, and to just glorify you, God. And I just ask for everyone that's given today, you will multiply it even the more to those who are in need of the same testimony, God. We worship you. We adore you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. All right. So let's see. We're going to have, let's start with one from Lavorne. You want to share with us a testimony?
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Hello, everyone. Earlier this year, I think it was in April, I had a dream And in the dream, my pastor was, she was at the pulpit and she was pointing to a woman and trying to pull this woman into the church or bring her in. And she kept trying to pull her in, and this woman was off to the side, kind of, you know, standoffish, not responding. And then in the dream, my pastor turned to me now and pointed for me to pull her in. She's like, "You pull her in, you pull her in." And so in the dream, I could sense that the woman was, I don't know, like she was resistant, but she also seemed very isolated. Like she just was alone. And so I remember waking up, and so I prayed and I said, "Okay, God, like, obviously there's somebody, show me who that is." And so that was April. And then, so I work in schools, and like at the different schools I work at, sometimes they have secretaries, contract, temporary secretaries that come in to fill in for full-time secretaries that are on leave or vacation. So one day I went to one of my high schools, and, you know, I walked in and there was a temporary secretary. And I always go out of my way to greet the secretaries because, yeah, I don't always feel like they're always respected. So, you know, I went up to this woman and I said, "Hi, what's your name?" She told me her name. And I remember when I saw her, I was like, huh, like there was something different about her. She just didn't seem like she fit there. And so, you know, I said, "Hi," whatever. Then, so that was one day. And then a couple weeks later, I was at the school board office, the main office where all the administration takes place. And I walked in, and the same woman, so this woman was at the front desk of the main board office. So I went up to her again. I said, "Hey, how are you doing?" And she's like, "Oh," she's like, "You remember me?" I said, "Yeah." And so she's like, "Oh, you know, we did our small talk." And so then, so that was the second time. And then, so one Sunday in June now, so that was like April, May, June. Yeah, that was May. So then one day in June, I'm doing the greeting at church, right? And I'm, you know, I don't greet every Sunday, like, but this particular Sunday, I was greeting at one of the doors. And who walks into my church? This woman, right? So I was like, "Okay, Jesus, this must be her." But I, you know, I wasn't sure. So I just, she comes in, she sees me, she's smiling, and she's like, "You go to church here?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "Do you go to church here?" She's like, "No." And then she kind of paused, and I said, "Oh, okay." And she's like, "But yeah, I feel like I'm getting the sense that I should be here. So I'm here to check it out." And I said, "Oh, okay." And then she says, "Oh, and you know, I know the pastor, Pastor Marie, I know her, and she's been trying to get me to come here forever, and I've been resistant." So I was like, "Oh, it is her, right?" And so I said, "Oh, okay." And so then after that, I just kept, every time I came to church, she would be in my eyesight, like to the point where I was laughing because I'm like, okay, Jesus, I get it. So all this time, of course, I was praying for her. I was just praying. And once I figured out who the person was, I had more to pray about because she was very much kind of isolated. You could tell she was still not sure. Anyways, I just kept praying. And then, so then we found out, you know, we both had the same employer and she was at different schools than I was, but we would see each other and whatever. And so then, one day at church, we had a small group meeting. We had a midweek service or something, and the pastor and her were talking, and I saw them talking, and the pastor was giving her a hug, and I could tell that, you know, I guess obviously she's been coming out more and stuff. And so I went up to the pastor and I said, "Hey," like, I told her, I said, "Yeah, I had a dream about her." And she's like, "Yes." And she's like, you need to tell. So anyways, I told her about the dream. I told the woman about the dream, and she got really emotional and then she just told me everything. She's like, "Yeah, I came to this church over a year ago and I just was not feeling it. I didn't want to be here." And she's like, "I felt the Holy Spirit telling me, but I kept pushing back. I didn't want to." She's like, "Me and the pastor, we live on the same street." And so she would always be telling me I need to come, but I was resistant. And so she just got really emotional, but it was so amazing because now she's coming. And then, so One Sunday, I was doing the prayer, the altar, the praying at the altar with people, and I see her sitting with this man, and the two of them are grinning, grinning together. And so I'm like, "What's going on here?" So she comes up, she's like, "Lavorne, yeah, we're dating." I was like, "What?" Anyways, my point is, this woman—it's just been amazing to see her life just unfold and just be able to partner with God and praying her back into where He wants her to be. So, yeah.
That is an awesome testimony. And I love how God like showed it all to you in a dream. Like He prophesied it to you. Like, this is gonna happen. Look out for it. That's so great. All right. How about Bonnie? Bonnie, you want to share a testimony with us?
Yes, of
course. Okay.
Good morning from India. This is a testimony that I'm known for. Well, I had just one child in 2003, Daniel, and then for a very long time we couldn't conceive. And all the others who got married after us conceived and had their children. And my son, who had grown up to be all of eight, he had his cousins over and they used to be with him. And then they used to leave. And he used to say, "Mama, I don't have anybody to play with. Everybody is left now and I'm alone." And all these kind of things were happening, and we were praying about having our second child, and we were even thinking, you know, I mean, we had our first child, normally why not the second? You're wondering. And Daniel was getting very persuasive. "Mama, I want someone to play with and this and that." And people were asking us, you know, why don't you have the second child? Do you all have issues? Do you want us to take you to the doctors? And such embarrassing things. And we kept praying about it. And one day, never in my life I've had double periods, but I had double periods that month. And I went to the doctor. And at that same time, I told him, "We are trying to conceive, but we are not, we don't, I mean, it doesn't seem to work." And he ran a scan, a sonography, and he told me, "You cannot conceive because your tubes are blocked and really bad, and you need a surgery without which, you know, you cannot conceive at all." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, never mind, leave it, you know." And in church, after praying a lot, I just told the Lord, "I don't even need this child now." I came to such a state where I said, "Lord, I want you and I want what you want." It was a state of desperation. I said, I just don't want things. I don't want this kid. I don't want you to answer me. I just want you." And one day in that same period, my brother-in-law and his children came over and to spend the day, and they left, and Daniel was crying and saying, "Now see, again I'm alone and nobody to play with me, and now these people have also left," and he was crying, and we were feeling so bad about it. And I just told him, "You're close to Jesus, right? You pray to Jesus, you ask Him what you want, and He'll give it. He'll give what you want. He'll give you what you want." And Daniel, there and then, the little plumpy fat fellow that he was, he just closed his eyes with all those tears, and he started praying in front of us. He said, "Lord, please give me a brother and a sister. I want play with them. I don't have anybody." And we wept. We both wept. And we said, "Okay, we'll do that surgery maybe. You know, we'll go and do that surgery." and stuff. And we were deciding to meet the doctor. And that very month, I was vomiting and showing all signs of pregnancy. And I got a test done, and I have those little tests still with me where the second line came red too. Otherwise, the line used to never come red. You know, the number of tests you keep undergoing, those little test swabs, and the next line doesn't come at all. And after so many tests over so many months and years, this finally, so easily, just became a dark red. And we both were jumping, me and my husband. And we said, okay, we'll go to that doctor. You know, what do we mean? I cannot conceive and all that. And we went to a doctor, the same doctor that, you know, we had all our girls treated for their babies. Not treated, you can say, assisted, who assisted all of us in the company. He was our favorite doctor. And I told him, he said, yeah, you have conceived, you know, you're just go and do us another sonography to see if everything is okay and stuff. And I did a sonography and I questioned him. I said, come on, how come I conceived? You know, you told me I cannot and I have to do a surgery and stuff. Then how come I conceived? Sorry, I'm asking, you know. And I said it in a way that, oh, you know, now you all become one of those doctors who wants money and does all those medical procedures, extra medical procedures to earn money. I spoke in that way. And he said, okay, come here, look here. And he showed me my sonography. And he said, see, your tubes are still blocked. But we still have that guy there, you know. So I said, then how? How come? He said, it all happens with you, hallelujah, guys. This, these miracles keep happening with you guys. Hallelujah, guys. And I was like, okay. And we were praising. In the sense, he was telling me a person who was scientifically sound, telling me, being a doctor, that this is a miracle. My tubes are still blocked, but hallelujah, praise God, we have a baby. And in all of God's favor and glory, I gave birth and I named him David. I joined office after my maternity leave and I started feeling weak. And I started feeling very tired. And I think this was not even a year after David was born. Maybe 11 months or so, eight or nine months. And I said, I need to go back to him and maybe get some vitamins and stuff. I've not been taking vitamins, maybe. And I go to him and he tells me, sonography, maybe, you know, there's something that I need to check. And when I did my sonography and went back to him, he says, you're pregnant again? I said, what? He says, yes, you're pregnant again. And it happens with you, hallelujah, guys. Your tubes are still blocked. Look at this. I'm like, praise God. And after that, I get a baby girl exactly how Daniel asked for. I want a brother and a sister. So here we get Dew, D-E-W, and she is a blessing. And all that while, the Lord brought to me so many dreams that we both, me and my husband, when we were in college, we used to think, oh, we'll have three children, you know, two boys and a girl. And he brought it to mind that, you know, why did you even want to struggle about it? You were anyways going to get two boys and a girl. And here you are. So I'm so blessed today. I have Daniel, David, and you, to God's glory. Praise God. Oh, no, it doesn't end here. And then I had these people, you know, whom I could make out were not happy. And I used to ask them, especially this girl who used to come to give us the bill. I was at the reception at that time. And she used to come to give us the bill. And she was a married girl. And she confided in me. I said, why are you so sad? Can I pray for you? And she said, and she was a Hindu girl. And I said, "You're having problems, right, in your family?" She said, "Yes, I can't conceive." And I said, "I know, I just know how relatives can be. You know, when they know you can't conceive, they'll keep asking you whenever they meet you. They'll make it a point. Are they nothing this month also? Are they nothing? You know, are they, how long are you married?" And they keep asking you, and it cuts the heart. And I had one, and it still cut my heart. This lady had no child, and in when you're a, especially these Hindu people, if you don't have a child, they call you words. They call you barren, and they call you banj, and they call you all these Hindi things that you mean that you're a curse. And she used to feel really sad, and she started crying. I don't know what made me tell her, "Next month, by next month, you will conceive, and you will bring me a big bag of eclairs, a big chocolate of eclairs, you know, a big, we have these little eclairs here. They're very tiny. They're like toffees. They are yum." I said, "You will get me a bag of eclairs." And she just smiled at me. Maybe she's done all her procedures already, and even the doctors have told her, "No, you know, it's not possible for you to conceive." And she just went away, and life went on. And she used to come every month with the bills. Next month, she came beaming with a bag of chocolates in her hand. And I didn't realize, because I just said that. I don't know what made me say it. And I saw her coming, you know, beaming and with the bag of chocolates in her hand. And I was just wondering, maybe she's just being kind, you know, that she maybe she thinks I want chocolates for my kids. I was just thinking all these things. I never thought once that of course, I prayed for her. We prayed together. I never thought once that she had conceived. And she cried and she told me, "It has happened, and here is your chocolates." You know, not that I didn't want to give you something more, but this is what you asked for, and here it is. And we both were howling and crying at the reception, but this time it was tears of joy, tears of praise. Yes. And then again and again, I realized, of course, on the fast, on one of our fasts, Nicole made me realize that probably it was, you know, one of my gifts to pray for people, because I've gone through that, I have overcome that. And now, whenever I pray for people, it happens all for the glory of God. Wow. So, like, you know, I should try to fish for such people. Oh, you know, who's conceiving? I'm going to pray for you and see how he's going to just give you those babies. So praise God, praise God. And not only babies, it also started happening for things that needed to be birthed, you know, like someone not getting business, or someone who needed deliverance, things that were on the brink and not happening. And there I had it in my heart to pray for them. I had it, you know, Nicole makes us make lists. And I have a huge list, huge, with many ticks, many, many ticks. She said, "Tick them, you know, as they happen." And that list is growing, and the ticks are ticking, all to the glory of our mighty Savior. Praise God, praise God. Thank you, Nicole. And thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How you love us. How you love us. We just praise you with every breath. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Now we need you to pray for everybody listening. Like you say, that's on the brink of their breakthrough, or for those who want to have children. And then, of course, we already know that the payment is chocolate. So, any one of you,
I'll send you my address. I love chocolate.
Any one of you that gets this, you're going to be sending chocolate.
Yes. Yeah. More than chocolate is that feeling that he loves you to the point he answers you. Take. This is what you want. Take it. That's his attitude of love. You know, he treats us like little kids at his feet. Oh, my heart is so full at this moment. Anyway, thank you, Abba. Thank you, Abuni. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You do your wonderful works through instruments like us, broken, yet made beautiful in your beautiful hands. Thank you, Abba. Oh, how we love you. Thank you, Father Jesus. Thank you, Abuni. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for every moment of glory, every time we celebrated, and yes, celebrated how much you love us, how much you love us. Father, I bring to you this entire group, those listening, those expecting, those waiting, Lord, you know their hearts. You know what they desire and have been desiring for a long time. Lord, you give us everything, but in your time, which is perfect. So we bless you and we praise you. And we ask you, Lord, that you would fulfill these desires. We look to your lovely, beautiful face. Like children gathered around you with expectancy. Yes, Lord, with expectancy. And we know that you will fulfill every desire for your glory in your time. For each and every one of us here with desires. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. We bind up every doubt that comes in mind, doubts of impossibility, doubts that it can never happen, doubts that now we don't even require it. We bind this up in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord, we will celebrate soon in your time each and every desire fulfilled for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And we bless you, Lord. Amen.
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 Amen. Okay. Now we're going to have Thomas share with us his testimony. Thomas?
Hello?
Yes, there we go. We can hear you.
Excuse me. My first time with a mic. Matter of fact, I only had a couple of days now. But meanwhile, let's give the testimony. Okay, this one starts back in early 2024. And at that point, early in the year, I started losing weight. My normal weight is like 190 pounds. And I'm like, at this point in my age, I'm 75 years old, going to 76. But meanwhile, during that time, in 2024, I had no appetite and I didn't even feel hungry. And I was losing weight. My wife asked me, how much weight are you going to lose? How much do you intend on losing before you stop and, you know, gain your weight back. I'm told I wasn't trying to lose weight. And at the same time, I thought it was a spiritual thing going on, similar to Isaiah 6, where God takes us through a process and removes some things from us and breaks some things down in us. But meanwhile, I'm not even getting to the Bible study, but that's what I thought it was. Anyway, on August 11th, 2024, I had a dream. In the dream, I heard the words, "You hit the bottom." I said, okay, I'm at the end of this thing, whatever it is. But in the dream, I was on this street near here, and it was like a farmland. And I know it well because I drive it all the time. Meanwhile, I went down this valley because there was a big hole in the ground. I mean, a tremendous hole, a big valley. So I went down it. And when I went down it, I got all the way down, and there was a house at the end of it. And it was very deep. When I get to the house, these large dogs came running out of the house and came running up to me. I said, oh, no, I got trouble. But the dogs were friendly. They were big dogs, but they were friendly. So I said, okay. So I patted the dogs and walked away. And I said, okay, let me get out of here. So I'm going back up these steps that are there, and the steps are tremendous. It's like going up a mountain. I mean, that deep. So I'm going up, and I get to the top of it, and there's a fence there. But at the fence, there are small dogs that are preventing me from climbing over the fence and getting out of that particular area. And when I'm fighting the little dogs, because they were small dogs, you know, like chihuahuas and whatever. And I heard words, it's the small dogs that destroy the vine. I said, okay, that's interesting. It's not foxes that, it's normally foxes that destroy the vine, not dogs. So I said, okay, whatever. So I said, okay, you know, that's something for me to understand and know, something for me to deal with, whatever the dogs are that are preventing me from going over the fence. I said, fine. So October 29th, 2024, same year, I went to the doctor because I had a urinary tract infection. And I said, okay, let me go. And I normally don't go to the doctor. Matter of fact, that was one of the few times I've ever been to a doctor. Never been in a hospital. So at this point, I said, okay, I know I need to go there and get some antibiotics to deal with this thing. While I was there, they took my blood. They took some my blood pressure. And told me after they taken my blood and did a test that my kidneys weren't working. They were down to 15%. I said, okay. And they said I had high blood pressure, which is normally associated with the kidneys. I said, okay. At the point that they're telling me this, my weight was down, and it was down about 160 pounds. So they referred me to a renal doctor, a kidney doctor. When I went to the doctor, it was November 6th, like a few days later, and I was told by them I had stage 5 of kidney disease, which is actually 15% of your kidneys working. At that point, my weight was at 160. I remember I wrote it down when I was in the doctor's office. And they had a whole bunch of stuff going on. They wanted to do whatever. They took some tests, took some blood and whatever, took some urine, and I had to put out some money because at this point, like I said, I didn't go to the doctor. All this time, I've been very healthy and whatever. I hadn't been to a doctor. And it's costing me money, which I didn't mind because I had it, so I paid it out. But meanwhile, when I went to this doctor, he did some tests and whatever, put out a nice chunk of money, had me come back on December 6th. And he told me I have good news and I have bad news. He said, which one you want first? I said, give me the bad news. Well, the bad news is that you got kidney disease. I said, okay. And he said, what's the good news? He said, the good news is you can go on dialysis. I said, that's not good news. I said, that's not what I want to hear. So I said, okay, that's what you're saying. I need to go on dialysis, but I'm not doing it because I know what God had told me. I know what he had in mind for me. So I said, I'm not gonna play with this. You know, I don't believe everything you tell me. I'm gonna believe what God told me. So meanwhile, I leave them and I go back to the doctor and I told him, okay, I'm not taking the blood pressure medicine you gave me because the medicine you gave me, if I take garlic, raw garlic, and the medication you're giving me, it cancels out. The garlic cancels out that medication. So I said, no use me taking that medicine. So I put that aside and told him, I'm not going to do it. And meanwhile, as far as the kidneys function, I told her, well, you say I got a problem with the kidneys, but I don't believe it. So I said, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do exercise, change my diet, and I'll do some research and I'll do something different. So meanwhile, I did do that. She said, well, you should take the medication while you're changing exercise, doing exercise and changing your diet and everything else. I said, well, I'll think about it, but I didn't take it. I put it aside. Meanwhile, May 17th, 2025, it's like 5 months now going past, and I'm in the house watching my diet and everything else, and I'm sleeping at night, and the wife realizes that I'm breathing heavy and that something is wrong with my breathing or whatever, and she turns around and she calls my friend, which I used to work with, and call the ambulance to come to take me to the hospital. And when they came, I decided I wasn't going to go with the ambulance. I go with my friend because I knew he knew better than I did, you know, which hospital to go to, whatever. So we ended up going to a hospital close by called Perry Hospital. When I got there, they turned around and they said, well, you need to be referred to get some kidney some dialysis because your kidneys are not working. I said, well, okay, whatever. So they said, we don't do it here, but we can refer you to another hospital. You can go to Warner Robins, which is a little bit of a ride away, and they do it there. And I was like, I'm not going to do it. I said, I don't want to do it. Meanwhile, my friend, he talked to me. He was telling me, hey, he said, you need to do it. If you don't do it, you might die. And at the same time, he says, my brother just had his done. He was in the hospital for so many days, and his blood was so messed up, he says they had to take him through quite a few different processes. But meanwhile, he says, now he's on dialysis. Now, I know his brother because I worked with him. We worked for 5 years together. We were doing work with this place called Perry Volunteer Outreach. And I used to pick up sofas and whatever else, and he was my side man. So I know him, and I said, well, whatever. I said, you know what? If this is what God wants me to walk through, I'll go through it. I said, you know what? I'll go and I'll do the dialysis. I go ahead to the hospital. So I didn't go to the one day when we wanted to refer me to, but he says, well, I'll take you to Macon Hospital where my brother had his done, and they are better set up for doing that type of work. And he said, they're better equipped for what you need done. I said, fine. So the next day, this was on a Sunday. It was May 18, 2025, and I went in. And he told him what the doctor said, told him what was going on. And I was very weak, you know, wheelchairing me around or whatever. And gave me oxygen. I'm like, okay, whatever. And I just went along with the program because, like I said, I'd never been in a hospital. I'd never really been sick. So this is all new to me. So while I was in there, they turned around and they set me up with a catheter. They tried to put it in it initially, but they couldn't get it in. And then they turned around and they put me under and they installed it in my bladder through my stomach. So I said, fine. At the same time they did it, they set up for the dialysis to be done that way also. I said, okay. So I was in there from May 18th all the way until June 3rd of 2025. So I'm doing dialysis on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. Saturdays, rather, because it's 3 times a week you have to take it. So I said, okay, whatever. I'll go through the process. But as I'm going through the process, I'm realizing, you know what? I'm not comfortable with this. I'm not even happy with it. I mean, everybody keeps telling me I got kidney problems, whatever else. And I said, you know what? It's time to stop this. So what I did is I was in the hospital at one point. My wife was there with me. I had to send her home because she was a distraction, not only a distraction, but I couldn't really get into the things I wanted to do as far as praying or whatever else. But now she was gone, and I turned around and I spent time and I prayed to the Lord. And as I prayed, I spent time in tongues. And on June 3rd, I came out of there. Again, that was the last day they gave me dialysis. I came out, they gave me a walker, they gave me exercises while I was there. They had me set up for, you know, time that they thought I was going to have to lay in bed and be an invalid in bed, and had tubes coming out of my out of my chest where they had reinstalled this thing for dialysis and tubes coming out of my side for the bladder. And I still have them to this day because they haven't taken them out yet. But the reason they haven't taken them out is because the doctors are being slow. But I got no problem with that because I don't rely on them for my getting around and my doing things anyway. So what ended up happening is on June 5th, when I got out of the hospital, I should have been scheduled for a dialysis on the 5th because I got one on the 3rd, and I should have been scheduled for one on the 5th. So I went to the place that they referred me for dialysis, and at that point I went like 135 pounds. So I lost at that point 55 pounds from what I originally started out with. Now, the cost of treatment for dialysis is $3,103 per treatment. And they had me for 3 treatments a week. Now, I have no insurance, had no insurance at that point. I was paying everything by cash, which was fine because, like I said, I had the money, but I wasn't going to pay no $9,000 a week for dialysis. So I said, you know what? It'll all be fine. Meanwhile, while I was there that one day, I went to Social Security, which was around the corner from that place, because I had never taken my when I got on Social Security, I got on at 70 years old. I didn't get on at 65, but I got on at 70, so it was 2020. So from that time on, I had been paying for Medicaid. So I ran to Social Security to get my Medicaid card. At the same time, was asking them about Part B, because dialysis does not take Part A, doesn't get paid by Part A, you get paid by Part B. I didn't have Part B, I have Part A. That's what I've been paying for 5 years. So with that, I said, okay, fine. One thing they kept telling me is registration for Part B is January, February, and March at Social Security. I said, fine. So I called them anyway, and I got an appointment. And the appointment they gave me, and I figured, you know, I'm going to get it outside of that window. So when the appointment they gave me was for June 13th at 11:01 on a phone conversation. And this is 11 days from that time that I contacted them, that appointment was set up. Now, during that time, I had no dialysis. From the time I left the hospital until the day of that appointment, I had to wait to see if I was going to have an episode where I had to go to the hospital and get dialysis and get myself treated. And they said, if you go there, you Medicaid Part A, which you have, you can get that dialysis in the hospital. I said, okay, fine. So Saturday came. My friend turned around. He says, you want to go back up there? The same one that took me the first time. I said, no, I'm there, fine. But I figured, you know, if the whole problem is that I'm going to get dialysis to clean my blood, I said, well, I'm not going to put anything in my blood that's going to cause me to get dirty or to be out of order. So I was eating light. I was eating one meal a day and fasting the rest of the time. And I turned around and said, okay, fine. We'll wait until I get an episode. So they said, you get an episode, go to the hospital. Don't wait. So Monday came again. My friend asked me. I said, no. I said, I'm fine. I said, there's nothing wrong. I said, matter of fact, I'm gaining weight. I said, okay, you know what? Let's test this. Because as it turns out, while I was eating light, I figured, you know what, let me go ahead and find out if I can eat anything else. So I started eating some other things that were not necessarily light and not worrying about trying to keep the blood clean. Well, lo and behold, the time came where I ended up getting that call from Medicaid. And during that call, they asked me, do you have a 2728 form? And I said, I don't know what a 2728 form is. She said, well, because I told her the whole story, well, you know, how everything happened. But meanwhile, while I'm telling her all this, she says, you are not supposed to be giving me a call, or you're not even supposed to be on my list because you don't have a 2728 form. I said, well, okay, whatever. So she called the people that I was scheduled to get together with for dialysis, the people that I was referred to. And she got back to me that afternoon and told me that they should have taken me through some tests and found out if I needed to get to dialysis or not. But meanwhile, they never called me back. She said, they'll call you back this afternoon and they'll explain everything to you. I never got a call. I said, fine, I'm not worried about that. You keep your call. But meanwhile, since leaving the hospital, I've gained weight. I'm currently 175 pounds. That's up to the day. 175 pounds. So I've gained 40 pounds. At the same time, I've done no dialysis. I'm cooking, I'm cleaning, I'm cutting grass, shopping, doing everything that I normally would do on a routine basis. My wife was all upset when she was in the hospital and she got crying to the doctor and whatever, telling them, he don't know how to stay still. He's always busy. He's always running. He does everything in the house. I cook and I do all the rest of it. But meanwhile, I told her, don't worry about it. I said, whatever you think this is, I'm going to be out of this bed. I said, God is going to take care of things and I'm going to be right back to doing what I normally do and everything will be fine. Anyway, I had a doctor's appointment on 9/2/25, and that was to remove the tubes for the dialysis because, like I said, I've got this. My brother came over a couple of weeks ago, and we do Bible study, and he's a pastor, matter of fact. And we're sitting down, and he walks in, and he says, what are you up to? I said, nothing. I said, just carrying my jewelry. He said, you don't wear jewelry. I normally would wear a wedding ring, but I haven't worn one since the one that we got married with, it broke. That's how cheap that stuff is. But meanwhile, he said, you don't wear jewelry. I said, no, my bag and also the tubes that got coming out of my chest, that's my jewelry now. That's what I got. Anyway, on 9/2/25, I went to the doctor's office, the same ones that referred me way back in the beginning, because of the first doctors that I had. I had to sign up with them and have some doctor to work with. I went to them to have the tubes removed and gave her a whole story about what happened in the last year that I hadn't seen her. Well, I haven't taken no blood pressure medicine, and the blood pressure is down. At the same time, I have done no dialysis, and my weight is up. So she says, let me get some blood and find out where you at. I said, fine. I said, whatever you want to do. I said, I'm not worried about it because, you know, it was never my desire to have this stuff, but at the same time, you think I needed it. I went through the process. Well, lo and behold, they came back after checking the blood, and she says, well, your blood, your diet, your kidneys are working at 18%. So whatever, I'm not worried about it. But not only did the kidneys function go up, because I believe it's a lot higher than 18, I think, because I got a feeling that they were giving me a lowball number just to protect themselves as far as with the whole process that went on. But meanwhile, the next appointment they got me scheduled for is March 2026. And I said, why so late? He said, there's no reason for you to come back here. So I'm scheduled now to have this jewelry taken off of me whenever they get around to it. So that's the testimony. Bottom line is, God is a healer. Whether you know what's going on or don't know what's going on, he knows what's going on and he takes care of business. Hello?
Amen.
I'm here. Hallelujah. 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 That's so good.
Amen.
Yes. I feel led to pray. I'm going to go in a very unusual and strange direction now because I have to be very obedient to the Lord. As you were talking, Thomas, the word that came into my head out of nowhere is supplanter.
Okay.
Supplanter. What is a supplanter? This is somebody who comes to overthrow, to deceive, or to take someone else's place. That was the word that came to me. So now I have to pray. I have to pray for you and everybody on the group about this. Because I was like, where did that come from? You know? Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's it. So first of all, Lord, we thank you for the testimony because this, you are doing something amazing and incredible here. His faith has activated you, God, to work on his behalf so strongly. And while he doesn't even know where this is coming from, why it is happening, you know. And so right now, we cut off every supplanter in the name of Jesus. Any being, visible, invisible, that is attempting to take whatever he has, his role, his place, I cut them off right now in the name of Jesus. And God, I thank you that
thank you,
any hex, any spell, any curse, any incantation, any sorcery, any hoodoo, any voodoo, any kind of a demonic attack that has been sent against him, Lord God, right now it's canceled in the name of Jesus. And we call that thing finished and done. It's null. It is void. We send the fire of the Holy Ghost to burn it up in Jesus' name. And we say it is no more. And we declare right now that everything, all the tubes that are in his body will come out without issue in Jesus' name. And that you put the fire of God as a hedge of protection around his household, his wife, Eugenia, everybody, that they're surrounded by your fire, God. And whatever that spiritual force that is trying to do this thing to him, it's been canceled right now in the name of Jesus. And God, I ask you to send angels to be there to protect him above, below, to the east, west, north, south, all around them, God. And that nothing, no weapons that are ever formed against him shall prosper.
Thank you.
I thank you, Lord, because even one of your own, Jacob, was a supplanter, and you converted him and you transformed him into Israel. And he really couldn't even step into his destiny until he repented for that behavior. So right now, Lord God, I pray you humble every supplanter to their knees. Humble them so that they repent and they can fully step into the destiny you have for them. Only you know, God. But we thank you for the power, the glory, the authority that is in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm sure you were not expecting that, but that's, I was like, what is that? You know, that's what he said to me. So, praise God. All right. Do you want to go ahead and quickly read the prophetic word that you have there? And then we'll close off.
That's with me?
Yes.
Okay, I can do that.
Yes, go ahead.
Give you some background. Actually, I desired to give this to you way back in February of this year. And I went and wrote a letter, and then I turned around and had this copy. And when I went to copy the copy on my copy and to transfer it to the letter, it wouldn't copy. They kept saying to
you. Are you saying that it is personally for me?
No. Okay. This was going to be sent to you in order to be used, but those that could benefit from it.
Okay. Yes. That's why I want you to share it. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, let me read the letter that I wrote out. It's short. It says, enclosed are two different testimonies. I put testimonies or experiences. Then I believe will bless someone. The first was February 15, 2001, during a time of prayer. I was in the habit of praying for an hour and then waiting on the Lord with pen and paper to receive a word. During this evening time, I had done that. I had prayed and I waited. And as I waited, the Lord didn't say anything. No word came. So then I got ready to get up. When I got ready to get up, the Lord started speaking, and he said, why did you leave? He said, be patient in prayer. It's our time. Look to fellowship. Look to spend time. Most people get down, say some words, then leave. They don't look to enjoy the time together. Other things are pressing. Give it yourself and see something come back. Your fellowship is precious. I love spending time with my people. They are precious. They are jewels. They don't know how much I care for them. Spend the time and enjoy the fellowship. Let your soul be blessed as you receive from my presence. I love you and desire to impart unto you. You have much to receive. Give me the time and I will bless more and more. Give me the things I ask for and you shall lack nothing. You are precious. Please bless others in your prayer time. Give. Intercede. See the lives of stolen property of mine and desire to recover for your Lord. I have many which need help. Give them help. Give of yourself. The sacrifice is worth it. No suffering you will endure can compare to the lives which must be petitioned for. They are all jewels. They are all loved. They are mine. Some will be lost, but do your part to save who we can. Love them. Treat them like it was me. Pamper them. Strengthen them. Feed them. Do for my sheep, and I will bless you in return. There is no soul which I cannot save, none which I can't and won't save, unless their desire is to be lost. You must strengthen the brotherhood, strengthen the church, my body, so it can be a powerful instrument in my hands for good. I need you to be all you can, all you are called to be, for the good of the body. Love the body as you love me. Keep my words and love them. Your growth is good, but there is so much more I have for you. Prepare. Confessions, and study will get you there. Saturate yourself with my word to overflowing. Be that house that has more than enough. I need tools and instruments of gold, tools which are pure and perfect. I have greatness to pour out, sweet glory, which is precious. Prepare yourself for that wonderful blessing. I love you. Keep yourself and bless others in Jesus' name. Now that word, I found it so powerful because I said, oh, wow. I said, did this come out of me or did God really say all that? I turned around. I was working with a ministry and the pastor had me do praise and worship for them. And this particular day, it was a brand new ministry. I said, you know what? Let me share this with them so they can understand with the heart of God, how much he really does care for them and how much he really wants them to be blessed and all. Well, lo and behold, I turned around and I read the word during the time we were getting ready for praise and worship. And as I was reading the word, I finished the word and the Holy Spirit fell. I said, whoa. I was shocked. Pastor was shocked because this, like I said, it's a brand new ministry. They hadn't had the Spirit moving there like in their church like that. And his wife was so covered with the Holy Spirit that she had not received the Spirit to that degree that she would dance or be under that power. So he was more concerned about looking at her and dealing with that situation. I told him, Pastor, come here. I said, we need to do whatever the Lord wants to do. I said, in order to me to be in any effect here, you need to come and minister to these people. So he came. We ministered. People got healed. I mean, one individual had a broken shoulder, as he said when he came, and all we did is we prayed over it. And the shoulder got healed. He was one of the musicians. He went right back and started playing the instruments. So the bottom line is God watches over his word to manifest, to prove it. So I said, okay, I know for a fact I didn't bring up the words. I didn't prepare the words. And it was all about, that was one. The other one is another word that came on March 20th, 2003. And in this one, I was woken up out of sleep. It was early in the morning. It was 9:30 that I got up. And when I got up, the Lord asked me to read John 17. And when I turned around and read it and came back, and he said, well done. Do you know who is speaking? And at that point, I was very cognizant of everyone that spoke. Whenever I heard the Holy Spirit, I knew it was the Holy Spirit. When I heard Jesus, I knew it was Jesus. And I knew the Father when he spoke. And I'm not going to get into I'm not going to prove it with some other testimony or whatever. But meanwhile, he said, do you know who is speaking? I said, Jesus. He said, yes. He said, you're a pleasure to behold. You took the lesson quickly, John 17, on praying the future. I'm not going to get into it because we've already passed the time. But the bottom line is, if you read John 17 and you look at what Jesus said when he prayed the prayer before going to get to be crucified and being judged, bottom line is, he speaks some things that are in there that when they hadn't happened yet. They were all future items and future things that were going to happen. He said, that is the way to pray. He says, pray the result. See it in your spirit and believe it in your heart. Don't doubt. But see the end come to you. Continue to pray with fervency. Believe the end and don't squander words. Give them with authority. And he says, be well, my servant. I'm pleased. So, again, another way for people to understand how God thinks and what he looks at and what he looks for us. And that's why when we're praying, pray the end result. He knows the problem. Pray the end result. Don't squander words. Be about speaking that thing out. Thing is, you got to know what he wants also, because we want to pray his will. I'll leave it there.
Amen. You know, my the people that pray on our team with us, they know that because I say it all the time. We go to the end. We ask for exactly what we want. We don't need to regurgitate anything. Just, what do you want? Ask. Amen. And see, the Lord told you the same thing. It's so true. It's so true. This has been a glorious time. Okay, for those of you who are new to joining us, we have two more days left. There's tomorrow, Saturday, and then Sunday. If you have an answered prayer testimony that you would like to share, I need you to send me an email and let me know, and I will put you on the schedule. And Thomas, thank you so much for sharing this beautiful testimony with us. You know it's God. God is doing it. Absolutely. But based on what I said to you when you were talking and what I heard, that was actually a demonic attack.
I believe it.
Okay, that's what that told me. It's like, okay, it wasn't like a natural, this happened to you naturally. No, it was an attack. So amen. I will continue to pray for you. Oh, this is so good. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this hour. Thank you for these testimonies. Thank you for the prophetic word that you gave. And just the work you're continuing to do, we give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, we're going to be back here tomorrow. Same place, same time. Thank you all for coming.
Amen. Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Thank you.
Wish it would go on a little longer.
Next year. Yeah. Next year. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to give more notice to everyone. And we will do it longer next year. Okay. I didn't give them enough notice, I think. So next year I'm going to do it longer, and I will give enough notice for people to start, you know, think of the testimony and write them down so they can come share them. It's so good.
Amen. It's amazing. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Nicole.
God bless you.
Good night to everybody.
God bless you all.